Yeah, why don't we start then with, if you're okay with that, we can bring up the Council of Nine and then we can maybe go through a few questions and then go from there.
Okay.
I don't think you need a whole lot of prep for that. It sounds like
I've been here the whole time.
I kind of got the impression. Yeah. I'd love to start with one that that's been going through. I know even in listening to some of your other work, sovereign and the concept of sovereign has come up a lot. And sort of us really stepping more into our sovereignty. I know one thing that we have been investigating a lot more as we've been really exploring this concept has been practical ways to actually live a more sovereign life given where the world is now. And so we've been looking into stuff, a lot of stuff around things like concepts like status correction and different aspects of law and jurisdiction and how to be able to actually really own really step into those natural rights and bring them forth. And I'm just wondering if that is,
and this is a very practical step in this world at this time, like it's paperwork and filings and declaring and reclaiming
all of this sort of stuff. So when it gets into the world of understanding things like the UCC and natural law and all of these other pieces. And I guess I'm wondering, like, is that an important part of this process of us eventually being able to really live a more sovereign life? Is that necessary in these times?
The council said the paradox is that it's necessary for a unique soul group. And there are many more awakening and joining that soul group daily. So much that it's becoming a trend and it's necessary in that soul group. And there are many more who do not find necessity in that unique path. But those people are what the council call pioneers. So you are pioneers of a new consciousness. And you are pioneers of a new earth. So that's necessary. The council says you're like the bulldozers that pave the road. And you come in and you just clear all the shrapnel and pave away for everyone to actually utilize the land. And you're not, don't worry, you're not bulldozing trees in nature. You're bulldozing skyscrapers and court buildings and other things. So in this degree of sovereignty, it's helpful, but it's for the path of the pioneers. And you are like the front runners. So people don't really believe in what you're doing right now. So it's going to take the grace of courage. It's going to take fortitude and it's going to take time. This you will do for your children and their children and their children's children. It's wonderful that you asked this of them, because just the other day, someone had said something to me and she said, and I'd be getting more of these comments, you know, and she said, but why should I care about that? I won't even be alive. And I said, I don't know. Ask your children. They're going to have children, aren't they? Do you care about it? Pioneers care about everyone because we are all your children. If this is your path right now, you're protecting me and my kids and their kids. It is a very important path. It's not for everyone because not everyone has the fortitude or the faith or the vision. Or the clarity, or the hope. But it is nonetheless incredibly important, because without you as pioneers who are doing that, our children and their children do not have an earth to live on. That's why you are important if you're doing that, for those of you who honor that path.
What happens when a particular outcome is broadcasted in such a grand way, whether it be, I mean, there's a lot of negative forecasts coming out now. What happens when it's broadcasted? Maybe we can even touch on specifically the solar eclipse that's going to be happening on April 8th.
They're asking me to ask you, what specifically do you want to know about?
How does it affect time? I guess then maybe we'll keep it to when something is broadcasted, when a negative outcome is broadcasted, what happens to the timeline of that specific event?
Okay. They said it affects the people who collectively created the timeline and not the people who didn't. So stand in your sovereignty, not your timeline, the end. You already know that, but you do need to claim what is your timeline, because it's a very insidious nature that's happening right now. The energy that's coming about is a little sneaky, and it comes around in corners. If you don't believe it, it'll come at you in another way. If you don't believe that, it'll find another way. It is a very manipulative energy that's affected the planet right now, and it's affecting our spiritual leaders. It's affecting our spiritual communities. It has infiltrated talented channels and spiritual directors and leaders. So you must have the discernment to see beyond it, even if it is not the popular view. Claim your sovereignty and understand that we are here with each other in multiple potentials, experiencing different timelines, but physically living side by side. And that's how we transcend time, is by giving other people the choice to continue to believe something that could be incredibly devastating to them. But it is their path and we must honor it.
Where does that manipulative energy originate from? What is it and why is it here?
Everything that is here is originated from everyone that is here. It is an agreement in the contracts collectively to experience it. And those who are playing those darker roles, holding those darker agendas, hold the deepest love for those who are not. And they play those roles because they have already awakened. They play those roles because they are helping everyone else awaken more fully. They're helping you see the other side of the coin. They're helping you with forgiveness. They are helping you understand that everyone deserves compassion regardless of their actions. They're helping you understand the misperception of sin. They're helping you understand the reality of evil so that you can work together in love. They are helping you come together more strongly.
There's lots of paradigms that are really changing right at the moment. So whether you look at politically or health or education, and I'm curious just from my background as being in as a naturopathic doctor and osteopath and working in that field of health for a long time, my focus has really shifted to seeing the body more vibrationally, frequency, energetically, and looking at more from that template. I'm wondering how health is going to be transitioning as far as what we know now. How does that start to transition and look like as we move forward?
The council said Earth is creating a paradigm of being unable to afford healthcare in general for what it stands in allopathic medicine. Earth is creating a paradigm of being mistreated by doctors, misunderstood by doctors. Doctors themselves are just as powerless in this situation because they have expectations with how they treat and what information they do and do not present to patients. The paradigm itself is becoming impossible to continue and support. It is collapsing. Healthcare is now about vibrational healing technologies, what food you put in your mouth, what light you put into your soul from your thought streams, your intentions. Health is now becoming about the whole construct of the soul versus just healing the body. And in that way, the mind is now becoming more healed as well. But prior to then, you will see many people continuing to support the mental healthcare system, the physical healthcare system that exists for all of you. And it is falling apart in shackles around them. They are not being represented in truth. They are not being supported lovingly. And this is why many doctors such as yourself are leaving those systems. Doctors are speaking out in the systems, losing their licenses or giving it up, people are walking away from this atrocity that you call healthcare and working together to create something more helpful, more affordable, more loving. It's not here yet, but the two of you are the forerunners, again, with the pioneering.
What about education? Tending to our children and allowing the best of them and their creativity to come forth. What does that look like moving forward? And as far as how we best support our children?
There are many, 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 many different outcomes to that. And ultimately speaking, you're looking at parental choice and then the nature of these pioneer star seeds who are coming in and showing you what is no longer working. For instance, there are those of you who want your children still in those school systems, and the children are saying no. They physically will not attend the school. They will not get on the school bus. They will not get in the car. They will plant their feet into the soil and say no to you. Perhaps they are more intelligent than you are in this process. Let them say no. You can continue to say that this is the educational system in the future, but it will not be the same, not even 50 years from now. And you are in the beginning stages of that. Most children can receive bachelor's degrees, associate's degrees, master's degrees, full doctoral degrees online, virtually, from their homes. This is the nature of where education is going, but it's going to be from kindergarten on up. And this is just one timeline.
What about governance in as we move forward? What does governance actually look like? Do we still have government as we know it?
Will there be different branches of governments separating?
Is it as necessary as humanity evolves more and consciousness continually evolves?
Mm-hmm. They're saying it becomes less necessary. The only reason why it still exists now is because people continue to give power to political parties and because humans want a savior. Mm-hmm. As long as the majority of the third density experiencers on Earth want a savior, these parties will exist. And the paradox is they could save you from something, but not from yourself. They could increase or decrease your gas prices, but they cannot provide love to you or support to you or an awakening to you or fulfillment and purpose to you. This is why in the near future, these systems will begin to collapse. It's already happening.
The Inspire Health Podcast will be right back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Delightful news, air travelers. Going in and out of airports without getting sick can be challenging. Time to take charge of the air you breathe with Nasal Guard. Nasal Guard topical gel defends by blocking harmful airborne particles and viruses. Try Nasal Guard for air travelers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about Nasal Guard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
People will no longer vote these systems because they know that the system is broken and they will not participate. People will not vote. People will refuse to be governed by those systems. Riots will happen. This is the unfortunate part of the shift. When you want a change, but you still want the old paradigm, those systems are going to fight you. And there will be many civil wars, many MINE versus MANY, they're saying, little mini riots and protests, and times when we reach the precipice of civil war in both countries, yours and mine. Canada and the US will be the first ones to protest government. I'm surprised that Australia wasn't up on the list in that, but they are the last to protest.
Wow. What about Europe?
Europe will be right there with Australia. It's like Europe and Australia are the last to protest anything.
The conversation around population has come up a lot too, that there's too many people on the planet for Mother Earth to be able to provide for.
Sustain.
Is that a reality? Is the population too large, or is there just aspects that we haven't been able to tap into properly yet, and that there's actually an abundance for all of that? And what does population look like moving forward?
She knows what she's doing, and she has recovered every time. And does this give us license to continue to abuse Mother Earth? No. Will some species no longer exist in the future or have to evolve differently, like polar bears? Yes. There are some devastating consequences, and the paradox is also Earth will still support you. You are not killing her. She cannot be killed. You are not that powerful. You cannot kill Gaia. It's not possible. But simultaneously, do you want to provide a lush, loving, green, oxygen-oriented place? Or do you want to depend upon extraterrestrial technologies just so that you can breathe? Earth will be here either way. And that's just one idea, one concept of a timeline that is potential. At its worst case scenario, that you are using extraterrestrial technologies to breathe. That's a very fear-based technology and a fear-based outcome. But it's possible. There are many possibilities thriving at once. There is also another version of Earth that has not been affected at all. And that is because those of you who reside on Earth support her in that outcome. There are many outcomes that are true simultaneously because you are multidimensional, and Gaia supports that. She can hold all those outcomes in time, and all of them can be true. Which will you choose?
What about the financial system? What will that look like moving forward?
The head of the council went, wah, wah, wah. So
So those systems aren't supporting, and they said we're starting with the brilliant invention of cryptocurrency. But even that is under the guise of being controlled at some space and time, and there will be those who do well in those fifth dimensional experiences, and then those who some cryptocurrencies who will be completely infiltrated and controlled, and that's a potential for some people as well. In a multi-dimensional experience, some people will choose to rely upon these older systems, but as you head into, say, 80, 90, 100 years from now, nothing like that will exist. There would not be a need.
What would be the most important things for the average person to be able to do at this point in time that would be of most support for themselves and for all of us?
They said, just breathe. Stop. In the morning when you awaken, as you open your eyes, say thank you. Breathe and smile. Even if you don't feel like it, how you start your day is the most practical way to envision Earth, because that simple moment dictates your entire day, week, month, year. How many of those moments begin with complaining and lack of gratitude, or how many of those moments begin with faith and gratitude and trust? Start there. But then ask yourself, what is the most believable step in what I can do versus being disempowered by what you cannot manage or control? What small thing could you do? Pamela wanted to stop and pick up trash. It's a small thing in her mind, but a big thing for that duck and her babies. What small thing can each of us do in our households? What can we teach our children? What food are we putting on the plate? All of that is so important. Are we supporting others who have no food in any way that we can? Are we supporting Earth itself in any way that we can? Start where you are and make a commitment to do something daily, even if it's just a prayer, and even if it's just making sure that you tell your children that you're proud of them and that you love them.
What is the role of the sun really on our planet and who we are as a species on this planet?
The sun represents the light that is you. It is a consciousness. It is what you call the Christed consciousness, the Buddha consciousness. It is why Egyptians worshipped it, because the consciousness is so invigorating. The consciousness of the sun literally keeps the body alive. That means you begin to demonstrate human qualities. You begin to call it father, son, mother, son, cosmic mother, cosmic father, divine father, divine feminine, divine masculine. And you have attributed personal human characteristics even to the larger consciousness. The sun has no personal characteristics, but source honors your dream because it is within your powers of creation to believe such collectively. Therefore, many of you collectively believe that the sun is killing you. Many of you collectively believe that the sun is supporting you. The sun is a construct of light. That is all that it ever has been, in such a small way, but in such an expansive way to your minds and bodies. You require it. It is a metaphor for your very soul. If you don't know your soul, it will not support you. It will not feed you. It will not nourish you with a purpose. It will not nourish you with the grace that is required for existence. If you do not nourish yourself, the sun will not nourish this planet. And that is also important for life.
What is the significance of the upcoming solar eclipse on April 8th?
You have made that quite significant. There is a split path. In one path, many of you are terrified of it, but there is so much potential to unravel all of these fears. And that is the true nature of this specific eclipse, is to remind you to face those fears. They gave me earlier, just yesterday on YouTube, they gave me this really beautiful metaphor of a lotus flower, except that it was upside down in the water and all of its 12 petals were brown and drowning and just dead. And then they took the lotus flower and did it like this, but there was no sun to support it because it was eclipsed, and the petals were still dead and brown and soggy. But then people could see at least you could see what happened. And people were walking along and looking at this, you know, this group of lotus flowers. And they were like, wow, look at this. Just look at this. Don't hide it anymore. Don't put it under the water anymore. Stop killing the consciousness of love, of earth, of light, of sovereignty. Just look at it. No shame, no persecution, no this, that, no blame, no none of this, no judgment, no attachment, just perceive. And then it was cold. I remember, you know, feeling this coldness when they were showing me the vision, the coldness that's required for new life. And then once the eclipse was over, those little petals started to slowly, one by one, regenerate. And there was this tiny little bud in the center that people were just observing, and it was about new life. And this is what this eclipse represents, the opportunity for new life by looking and just perceiving and letting all the pain unravel.
Thank you. What is the role of water in who we are and how it affects us and our planet?
Water holds hundreds of packets of memory, not just from this lifetime, but it holds memory and consciousness throughout time. So one memory that you have, the water can absorb, heal. And then if you bless that water and drink it, it can nourish you. And that memory, or better yet, what you call the karma of that memory, will become absolved. You have a collective belief that karma requires absolution and resolution. So in this belief system, when you bless your water and drink it, it knows your memories, it knows your pain, and it has held it for generations. And then when you drink the water, the pain releases and cleanses. And then other portions of the water that has been invigorated by your prayer, your light, your hope, your overall energy field of grace, will come through that water as well and bless you.
And is this possible to do even with polluted water as we know it?
Yes. Water is above the nature of pollution. So when you bless that body of water, do you have a belief system that the essence of water itself, the deity of water itself, is more powerful? Or do you have a collective or individual belief system that the pollution is more powerful? Either way, you will see a revolution of belief occur before your eyes when you bless water. If you don't believe it, it will not happen. We're not here to sell you fairy tales. But what happens if many of you do? What happens if many of you bless water together, many with a powerful belief that water holds in its molecules the nature and essence of a miracle? This is demonstrated by Saint Bernadette a long time ago in Lourdes. And many people still drink those waters today, but those are the people that also do not experience miracles because they do not believe in the miracle, and then the water demonstrates the belief. The water is a holder of consciousness. It will demonstrate to you whatever you believe. And it is very powerful.
What is the role of plants, or specifically trees, at this time?
Trees are the keepers of deeper, darker records that you hold. Conditions of pain, conditions also of light and love, of warmth, of hope, of peace. Trees hold larger collective records, and they have done so since the beginning of what you call time. Trees represent connection, support. Trees remind you to breathe. Trees help you remember your light. And without them, you literally could not breathe. So of course they are important. Trees are record keepers for this planet.
As so many of them were, as we're witnessing on the island, are being cut down daily, regularly, what is the best way in which we can help to protect, honor, and hold the trees in reverence?
How many of you care enough to stand on the land and support it? How many can you gather? 100, 200, 1,000, 2,000? If 2,000 people were standing on that plot, would they cut down the humans? We doubt that. This requires action, not just blessing. The trees don't require your protection. They are reflecting a belief system that has been around for millions of years. And if you cut them down, they will find a way to regenerate. How can you honor and respect them? You can take the wood and create something. Make a table, and then all of you share and break bread and water there. Share water, break bread. All of you can demonstrate that. You can take the wood and create a home for someone who doesn't have one. You can create paper for those who wish to create beautiful art and memories of the trees. But they are far from dead. Trees never die.
Thank you. One last question with regards to the same thread of questioning with regards to what role do animals play at this time?
Animals piggyback on the soul of the human. And you may not wish to know this truth, but hear us out. You call in the animals to support you, and then you support them. Animals are ultimate examples of the middle way, the consciousness that serves all. They remind you of nature and help you remember how you have disconnected from your own. They remind you of the cycle of nature, and they support it even when you do not. Animals naturally know when storms are coming. Birds don't worry about food. They don't worry about their homes. They don't have a mortgage to pay, for sure. It's not as if they are. They're being funny. They're showing this image of like a nest and then putting like curtains on and creating windows and putting in like the hardwood floors on the bottom, and there's no aesthetic value, you know. They're there to help you understand how to support each other and how to work within the laws of the land and the cycles of nature itself, and to not forget your own nature.
Thank you.
But they will reflect to you where you are, for sure. This is why dogs bite sometimes, and you know, animals show certain behavioristic patterns.
I think it's been really, really fun this last while, as we've got a dog and a cat and 9 chickens and different things. And sometimes just sitting and watching the watching the chickens just do their thing
and interact,
and the job of the rooster, and just watching all of it, or our cat who just is like owns being a cat.
Yes.
You know, like there's no thought that that cat wants to be anything else other than exactly who she is. And it's like, even with our kids, when they're watching it, they're picking up on all of those things. And often not just picking it up, but actually bringing it to our attention even.
And we'll sit and have a discussion about it. Because there's so many rich learning lessons, even within that observation of just watching the animals around us.
Or we watched just even one of the chickens who had hurt her toe, and just watching what she naturally does. She just went very still, literally almost immediately goes into like a zone, like a almost like a meditative state, and just
close your eyelids.
You can see like generating that natural healing capacity. It just, you know, and we all just watch it kind of take place too, and you almost feel it, you know, just being still with her. It's that might sound funny for people, and you might not have chickens to enjoy to watch that, but it's a really neat process to see it taking place.
Chickens are amazing. And they can really bond with humans too. I know you guys know that because you have the bonds that they form, and they are incredibly intelligent. But you don't see, like, when the chicken, in the example that you're giving, the counselor said, so when the chicken hurts her foot, she doesn't get up, bandage it up, and say, oh, suck it up, I gotta go to work. Right? The chicken knows that she needs rest. She knows to breathe. She knows to call upon source. Mm-hmm. The chicken doesn't say, why did this happen to me?
No. Well, and I think what I'm kind of excited to see as things continually transition is, because it's almost in many ways the way most of us have created our lives, we don't allow that space to actually slow down to heal. It's almost like you're on this treadmill, and as soon as you slow down, everything starts to fall apart. So then we're afraid to slow down. We have to do things that we know is not in the best for us, but we still keep on doing it. I feel like all of this is part of what is transitioning now, where we're reprioritizing, because that innate personal instructions come up to say, I need to rest and take care of myself. And I feel like sometimes that voice is coming up stronger than the voice that says, no, I got to still go and do this, and I got to go and do this. And I feel like people are hitting a point where there's a change in which voice we're listening to.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're starting to prioritize not just what serves them, but everyone.
Yeah.
Thank you to the Council of Nine. Appreciate them stepping in as well.
Pamela, I feel like we've had you here for quite a while already.
Are you okay for another few minutes? Would that be okay? Thank you. I was wondering if we can call upon someone from maybe 5 years from now, and I'll leave it up to you as far as timeline would be most appropriate to check in with regards to some of the changes that we're starting to go through in a very accelerated way here in Canada, and perhaps the States as well, and Europe and different parts of the world.
The Inspire Health Podcast will be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Start your day the right way with Revive Active's range of super supplements and get the most out of life. Take one power-packed sachet mixed with water and enjoy a super tasty health drink at work, at home, or on the go. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to optimize your health and well-being to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, and more. No filler, no stimulants, no artificial colors or preservatives, just the right mix of vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and hero ingredients to help you put back what life takes out. Try our 7-day or 30-day boxes and use code UKRADIO to get a free supplement shaker. Revive Active, super supplements for a super you.
Nature's Medicine for Modern Living, a people and plants dialogue hosted by Sophie.Health. At Sophie, we bring together experts and voices who rarely cross paths. Our quest is to illuminate the ancient world of plant medicine and reimagine it for the connected age. Join us to explore new boundaries of digital personalized medicine with deep roots in the natural world, and hear from our community of international pioneers who are validating this new paradigm and improving how we feel, sleep, and cope with daily stresses naturally. Sophie.Health, reconnecting people and plants.
Once upon a time, human slavery was just a fact of life. Right now, animal abuse is often considered normal. In time, it won't be. Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living.
Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Who have I channeled recently that will talk right now? Year 2030, it's coming up as relevant because that's going to be right about like years 28 to 30. Most of the humans from the future have said that's the time when change is like really most prevalent. The council says we're on that timeline as well, still. So I think we're going to go with Levi. He's fresh out of university and he's a political sciences major. I've known him longer. I also told him he might be called upon today. And he is in your country versus the other one that's in America. So maybe that's a better choice with Levi.
Sounds good.
Yeah. He's a fresh teacher, like young. He's only 28 years old.
Okay.
In that timeline of 2030. So we're going to go with him. Okay.
Okay. Sounds good.
And to catch that energy trail back to Toronto, but I'm finding it now. I was just there earlier today. Okay. 10th grade political sciences is what he teaches primarily. That's in America, we'd call that high school. Okay. He says he's actually just school's on some sort of break there or something, and he has a little while to talk to us. Okay. What do you want to ask him?
What does school look like?
Not much different. He says that it's not so much that it's different from what you would know of now, particularly not in Toronto, but many school boards have created more options for students and parents to work virtually. And we have created options in various school boards for what we are demonstrating as a new type of education that's specifically works with each child's unique learning capacity and their learning style. So we now have a test that we can give students, similar to what Pamela would know as the ASVAB, which is a military test that talks about your talents and your skills and your capacity. But this is different. This is more about, are you a visual learner? Are you an auditory learner? Are you a hands-on learner? Where do you fall on the spectrum? Most schools in Canada have much more compassionate support towards children who fall on the spectrum. And we are beginning to understand how to incorporate the use of light and sound, particularly in our music classes. It started there, but we incorporate both light and sound in our educational curriculum. Our school has a 30-minute break for mandatory meditation, but we are a private school. Those are the things that are most dramatically different about some school systems. But overall, we represent a smaller portion of your population, and many other public school systems are beginning to become curious and follow suit a little bit at a time.
So I realize that you're in Toronto, but are there the options or opportunities more and more for children to be out in the open in the forest?
There was a proposed educational plan for children who learn well outdoors. And it's still, I'd say it's only been implemented in about less than 1/4 of most private sectors in schools, but at least it's there as an option.
What does the political system look like in Canada at that time?
Now that's different. Say for our prime minister and the role of the prime minister in the world, not just in Canada, this has been adopted almost everywhere. There is a stricter background check. There is a more strict regimen of requirements to become a prime minister. And it's incredibly helpful to understand that you have a prime minister that promotes peace, that promotes freedom of religion and doesn't just talk about it, but supports everyone in their choice. We do still operate in a similar system, but it's our views that changed. The system itself still exists.
Was there a major financial crash between now and your time?
That began in Canada specifically around midway through the 2026 that began, but it didn't last for long. It was easily recoverable for Canada, but not so much for the rest of the world. Canada is sitting in a nice place, economically speaking, at this time. In 2028, things got worse for another short time, was recoverable just shortly the year after. So we are having some struggles, but then we recover. We had some hard hits, and then we recover.
Does Canada still have its provinces and territories intact at that time?
Yes, it does. He feels like you want to ask more about that.
Is there more, from what we've seen this last while, is massive amounts of censorship and whatnot. Has that loosened? Are people, even right now in Canada, particularly around censorship on podcasts, censorship on medical information, did that loosen? Has that changed?
No one would have it anymore. Canada and the US were the first to shift that. And what you experienced, you already are experiencing a lot of thought leaders being canceled. Cancel culture was dramatic. And then people began to operate less on the web and more in person. And you can't cancel a thought leader in person. You can't stop them. There's no law against speaking what you believe. Therefore, many people who experienced the internet cancel culture began to pioneer change. You have more systems of change in place now than ever before. And there have been new internet platforms created that do not have censorship. And then you experience the paradox of that sometimes you require some of it. That's there. There's that as well, because your children do not need to be having access to things that could harm them mentally or physically. We experience the opposite end of too much censorship and then too little. Mm-hmm. There are benefits and consequences of every side of that same coin, and you have experienced all of it. Now you have platforms that have censorship, but they're run by humans, not AI. And it's just easier to understand the nature of freedom now. But you went through a lot to get there, Canada.
Any insights within that time period with regards to the current technologies including but not limited to cell phones like EMFs, 5G towers, even CERN and HARP that you can relay to us?
He said CERN doesn't exist. There's no funding for it. NASA is an archaic thing of the past. We haven't sent anything into space in a very long time. We don't necessarily want, as a civilization, to focus monies in that direction. We have had a lot of natural disaster in both the Canada and in the US, and money is spent regenerating Earth. Money is spent on more regenerative platforms for organic farming. Money is spent in appropriate ways now. EMFs were a problem for a long time, but the disclosure of that information was not made public until 2027. So you have some ways to go on that. But then you had the interesting concern that people were overly attached to the devices that where the EMFs come from. And you wanted all the bells and whistles. Many people wanted to still have all of those bells and whistles, and yet you do not want the EMFs. Ultimately speaking, what happened with cell phones is that people decided to create a phone that did not operate from 5G towers. And that feels unreachable to you right now, but that is ultimately what happened. Then we had to dispose of all of those phones. And you still have a small portion of the world who are deeply attached to 5G towers.
Levi, what would you say some of the main difference that you can observe from the time that you were a child to the time that you're currently in watching children within the school system?
I observed rebellion. I remember my little sister, you know, because we're several years apart, go through a public school system in Toronto, and she just didn't want to go anymore. Both the US and Canada, many portions of the UK, Ireland, Wales, you were experiencing problems, not just Canada. Kids understanding that they just didn't want any part of this anymore, but the way that it was brought about is through uncontrollable anxiety.
This comes to the end of our time for this episode. Please go to inspirehealthpodcast.com and listen to the remainder of this important episode. Thank you so much.